Okay, good afternoon, everybody. So let's get started. Let's get continued in the sugya of Borer. So last time what we discussed is just whether Shnei Minei Ochlin is a Borer situation, right? So we discussed that in order to have a Borer situation, L'chora, you need Ochel, you need Psovas, and then you need some sort of mixture of the Ochel and Psovas. And then we have to figure out what the heterim are, when you're allowed, how one is allowed to separate them out in a way that does not violate the halacha. So all we did last time is discuss whether you in fact need ochel and psolas in order to have a borer situation, or maybe even shnei minei ochlin also works. So we had shitas Rashi, shitas Hatosos, and shitas Harambam. Now, when we discuss shnei minei ochlin, there is a trumas hadashin in Siman Nun Zayin. You know, what we'll try to talk about today a little bit is how do you even define what's considered two different meaning. Meaning, since we pass in Shulchan Aruch that there is borer on shnei minei ochlin, on two different types of food, even though there's nothing that's objectively garbage, there's nothing that's psoles, there is a borer situation. But what's called shnei minei? What's called two different types of food? What if things are very similar to each other in the way they look, in the way that they taste, in what you know, their size, things like that? How do we determine what's even called shnei minei? So Chumas Sadesh and Siman Nun Zayin is quoted by the Rama over here in Shin Yud Hesed Gimel, where Chumas Sadesh and the Rama writes shnei minei dagim mikri shnei minei ochlim, that two types of fish is called shnei minei ochlim. And therefore you have to follow the Borer rules. And Shemazashin has this chumrah that even though each piece can be identified just by looking at it, you can identify each piece on its own, nevertheless it's still called Shnei Minei Ochlin that are bitarovas with each other. But if you have all the same min, you have a bunch of pieces of chicken, some of them are big, some of them are small, that's not called borer. So to be shnei minim ochlin, it needs to be shnei minim. Bigger and smaller does not make shnei minim, and that's what we assume lahalacha. The Taz, however, is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah here in Sivkat and Tazvat, where the Taz says, "V'kivan diyesh kan chashash isur da'oraisa yesh lahachmir filu b'min echad." The Taz says that even when you have one min, not like the Rama says, not like the Mishnah Berurah says, that even when you have one min, we should be choshesh that any sorting out of even a single min is considered borer v'afilu gedolos mitoch ketanos. Even if all you're sorting is by size, you're just saying some larger pieces apart from some smaller pieces, that's also called shnei minim. That's also a borer situation, even though it's all the same min. Rak mashu rotsa lechol ato, ushikach stamina babi adol niach sudah cheres. Meaning, unless you do it in a way that is mutter. So even the same food, there's going to be an issue of borer. So as long as you're taking away what you don't want, then there's going to be an issue of borer. As long as you're taking the whatever is psolus to you at the moment out of the mixture, it is a violation of borer. So the Mishnah Berurah just points out that a lot of achronim disagree with the Taz and agree with the Rambam, who says like the Trumas Hadashin, that Shnei Minim means it has to be two different types of food. Just because you have different pieces of chicken, that's not called Shnei Minim. I think that's how we assume La Halacha, not like that Taz, even though the Taz is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, but he's quoted and then rejected by the Mishnah Berurah. So if you want to serve a kugel, and you don't want to serve the small pieces of kugel, you only want to serve like nice gesunte pieces, you could remove them even with a kli, even well in advance of the meal, meaning it's that you don't have to follow borer protocols. If you have a tray of kugel, of things, pieces that are cut, and like some of the pieces are cut smaller than others, that's all the same, even though some are larger and some are smaller. Mishnah Berurah and Sivkat Tazvav then paskins that a platter that has grilled and let's say cooked meat is considered a mixture. That's considered a different meaning, even if they're both made from the same animal, right? Even if they're both, you took one package of chicken cutlets and you took half of the chicken cutlets and you fried them and you made schnitzel, and the other half of the chicken cutlets you grilled on the barbecue, and that's called shnei minei ochlin. Or if you have a platter of grilled meat where some pieces got burned and others were grilled to perfection, that's also considered a mixture, and removing a piece is only permitted if you fulfill all three conditions of Borer. What one thing that surprisingly does not come up in the Mishnah Berurah, and you'd expect it to come up, is we talk about different meat from different birds or different animals. That's definitely shnei minim. Meat from the same bird but different sizes, that's not shnei minim. We paskin, right? What about white meat and dark meat? Meaning people are very particular about their white meat or dark meat, choice. So is that considered to be a borer situation? So in the Orchah Shabbos, he quotes Rav Eliashiv that all the pieces of chicken are min echad. What do you mean? The Shulchan Mishnah Berurah is pretty clear that if it comes from the same animal, that's called min echad. The large piece, small piece, dark meat and white meat are just different shapes of pieces of chicken, but it's all from the same animal, and therefore it's all called min echad. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, however, says that two different types of food, and separating them would have to be done, meeting all the three conditions of borer. Orchah Shabbos quotes a Prima Gadim that if you never eat white meat, then everyone agrees that then white and dark meat are considered a mixture. L'chora, this is dependent on culture and society. I would bet that Rav Eliashiv never in his life chose white meat or dark meat. Whatever was given to him, that's probably what he ate. And he probably wouldn't, I don't know if he would know, I mean, he knows that a chicken has legs. I mean, he knows where the trefles are on, the various trefles are on the chicken. But I don't think it would be something that would register in his mind. For most of us, though, it actually does register, meaning you go to the supermarket, they will sell chicken bottoms in a separate package sometimes, because sometimes people only want drumsticks, or people only want chicken. They'll sell chicken thighs, chicken wings, chicken whatever. They'll sell each different part of the chicken separately because people dafka want that. They want that kind of food. So pashtus is, it's really dependent on the way we look at things, and do we view these as two different types of things? That it's not just a matter of size is a different issue. Size is just such a slight nuance that we wouldn't view that as something that are shnei minim, but something that actually has enough of a difference in texture and taste that people do distinguish between them. L'chara, that would be called shnei minim.
When there's a smaller piece of chicken, it tastes like crispier and like it's like less chicken to
So that might go into what the Mishnah Berurah spoke about when you have pieces that are more well done and pieces that are less well done, where the Mishnah Berurah said that also would be shnei minim. I mean, if it really makes an appreciable difference in something other than the size, l'chara would be shnei minim. That's a good question, right? The corner pieces of the brownies are not as mushy and whatever; they're a little crusty. So would that fit into what the Mishnah Berurah is saying? You have a more burnt piece and less burnt pieces, probably. The question is, are they mixed together? Meaning, when they're piled on, I mean, if it's in a tin, it could just be that you pull out a piece and you eat it. That's but meaning you're saying you're taking out the psalas. You want to take out all the corner pieces and leave it aside.
Take out the mushy piece and eat it later.
And eat it later on. Yeah, so, right. So that really gets into the question of how we define a mixture. Meaning, as far as minim, they may be two different minim. But unless the two different minim are mixed together, it's not a problem. Question is, just because they're in the same tin, does that necessarily mean they're a mixture? So we'll get there, but hopefully we'll get there. What do you think? Is that called a mixture? I mean, it's a very difficult geder, right? I mean, like most poskim say, if you look at books on a bookshelf, that's not called a mixture, right? They're lined up, they're standing up on a bookshelf. You pull out the one that you want. Why not? It's mushed in against the against two other books. But we don't view that as being mixed together. You have a plate of brownies where they're piled on top of each other. That l'chor is a mixture. A pan where they're that's flat, where you just slice. I don't know that would be called a mixture. So that's something to discuss. Minchas Chinuch has a fascinating shayla. Minchas Chinuch discusses what if you have two things that look exactly the same and taste exactly the same and are even the same size, but one of them is halachically prohibited and the other one is halachically perfectly permissible. So you have two apples or two oranges or whatever, and one of them is orla and the other one's not orla. Right, so one of them is asur b'hana'a, and the other one is not. So would you say that that's considered shnei minim? Is that an issue of borer? If it's actually orla, it's asur b'hana'a, so it could be that it's an issur of mukta, but is it an issur of borer? Do you have to think about all the conditions of borer? So this may be tulling in the machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and Ramban. On Kufmem Dalam Beis, the Gemara says that you could be choliv l'toch kedera, and that's going to be mutter. You milk an animal into a kedera. Rabbeinu Tam says that, yeah, on Yom Tov you could be choliv b'toch kedera, because it's ochel and ochel, meaning the milk that comes out is ochel, and the animal itself is ochel. Why is the animal itself ochel? Because shchita is mutter on Yom Tov, it's ochel nefesh. For the sake of ochel nefesh, you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov. So it's like you have an ochel to ochel, which is allowed. That you're allowed to draw the ochel out of the ochel. But on Shabbos, it's going to be asur, because there's no shechita on Shabbos. It's asur to do shechita on Shabbos. So the animal becomes the psoles. Taking the milk from the animal would be an issue of ochel mitoch psoles. Whereas Ramban disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, what do you mean the animal is psoles? The animal is delicious meat. It's you're not allowed to shecht it on Shabbos, but if you had someone who was mechal Shabbos and was hungry, he would be able to eat. He has the physical wherewithal to eat the animal's meat. So an animal is not called psoles. So cholev would only be allowed in Yom Tov, because the animal itself, right now, when it's alive, is psoles, because practically you can't eat it. No, nothing to do with shechita, nothing to do with whether shechita's mutter or not. So it could be that there are other reasons to distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov. But as far as how we define the animal, so this machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and Ramban might be our machlokas. Meaning, do I look at halachically, is this accessible to me? And if it's accessible to me halachically, then it's called ochel, then it's considered to be the same. Or do I say, no, halachically, I don't care whether it's halachically accessible to me, I care about whether it's practically accessible to me. So Rabbeinu Tam would think in terms of halacha, that if something halachically is inaccessible, so that's psoles. So if I have orla and non-orla, so the orla is psoles, and therefore it's no good, and that would create an issue of borer. Whereas Ramban would say otherwise. So this comes up in other situations as well. The poskim talk about it's Pesach time, right? And you want to find, so you have you paid whatever it is, $30 a pound for your shmura matzah, for your hand shmura matzah, and you open the box and you're hoping to find three whole matzahs to be able to use for the seder, right? So you have a whole bunch. You open up the box and there's a whole bunch of broken matzahs. Yet another advantage to Sephardi matzahs, they don't have this problem, because they're frozen rock solid, and you never have to deal with it. There are others you have to deal with if you leave it out of the freezer too long, then you're just eating bricks the whole night of the same. But you don't have to deal with that issue. So this is a very common thing, that you have broken matzahs that are all in the top of the box, are all mixed in with the whole matzahs. So are you allowed to separate them out? On Shabbos, right? So it seems to be the same machlokas. How do you define Shnei Minei Ochlin? Shlomo Zalman says that based on the Minchas Chinuch, that halachic psoles might be psoles. It could be that that's viewed as a mixture of two different items. Meaning, you could argue just on the one hand, this is pure Rama versus Taz, right? We said before that according to the Rama, different sizes, that's nothing. Different sizes doesn't make a difference, right? And according to the Taz, no, even min echad, but different sizes makes all the difference, and therefore it is going to be subject to borer. We don't pass like the Taz, we pass like the Rama. You're home free. Different sizes doesn't matter. So I have whole matzahs and I have broken matzahs, and it's no problem. It should be perfectly fine. The Taz actually gives the example of matzahs when he talks about the Isser. He quotes the example from Rishonin when he talks about this Isser. But we don't pass it like the Taz, so it should be perfectly fine. But comes along Shlomo Zalman, and Shlomo Zalman says, yeah, maybe we don't pass it like the Taz, but so as far as the size difference being concerned, it's not a borer issue. But what about the fact that for Lecha Mishnah you need whole matzahs? You're not allowed to use broken matzahs. So halachically there are differences. And if there are halachic differences, so then you have that issue to deal with. Now, it's not as stark a halachic difference as Orla and none. Orla is asur b'hanah, you can't do anything with it, you can't get any hanah from it. A regular apple, you're going to eat and enjoy, right? So that's a very, min ha-katzah la-katzah, but when it comes to the matzahs, there are halachic differences. So the broken pieces can't be used for the Lecha Mishnah, so you're going to be looking for full pieces for Lecha Mishnah. So that, according to Shlomo Zalman, might be an issue of borer. Halacha l'maisa, Rabbi Ribiat and the Shmir Shabbos say that if you're removing all of the bad ones just to get rid of them, because of the Lech Mishnah issue, then it's psolus mitoch ochel, and it's taka is asr mishum boren. I mean, Rabbi Rivia, it depends what you're doing. If you're just taking something out to access the bottom ones, so maybe that will be a little bit better. We'll get to that soon. If there are things piled on each other and you're removing things from the top of a pile, but if you're actually being boren, you're actually trying to remove the unwanted pieces. You're taking out all the broken pieces because I want to have a box of pure whole matzahs that I know for the rest of Yontif. I can just go to this box right before the meal and I'll be able to find my Lecha Mishnah. Right? Some people like to be organized. So they like to get it all organized in advance. So I'm going to pull out all of the broken pieces. That L'chora would be an Isra of Boris, says Rabbi Ribiak. However, the Bir Lecha might provide some help over here. When you have Shnei Minei Ochlin, one on top of the other, you're allowed to remove the top ones. If they're all mixed and not piled, then it's going to be a problem. But just when things are munachin, zeh al gav zeh, so the Bir Lecha writes over here that if you're just trying to access that which is underneath, that you're allowed to do. So just removing the broken matzahs to get to the bottom ones would not be an issue. But to really sort them out would be an issue. I mean, the Bir Lecha is based on, the way the Aruch HaShabbos explains him, is that when you have things piled on top of each other, maybe that's not called the Tarovas B'chla. It's just they're one on top of the other. They're not all mixed and mushed together. So maybe that's not even called the Tarovas at all. And if it's not a Tarovas, there's no border issues. So you have nothing to talk about. Right? Meaning if I have a bag of apples over here and a bag of oranges over here, I could take the bag of oranges and move it over a little bit further. That's not borer. Right? That's not, because they were never mixed together. So one piled on top of the other, Bir Lecha says, it may not even be a tarovis. It may not even be a mixture. And even if it is a mixture, if you're magdir borer, the way the Yeshuas Yaakov was magdir, and the Ramban, what was the Hagdara of borer according to Yeshuas Yaakov? Remember those Hagdara of borer? Tikkun HaMachal. So Tikkun HaMachal is that you have a food that's not good to eat right now because it's mixed in with junk. It's mixed in with other stuff that you don't want to eat. You're going to take a handful of jelly beans and there are going to be black ones in there. I know, but you know they're going to be right. So or you're going to have flour that has like little pebbles in it. It's just not good to eat right now. So by pulling out the psalus, you're doing tikkun hamachal. But when you have things piled on top of each other, even if you call it a taroves, the matzahs underneath are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. There's no tikkun that's required. So there is no tikkun hamachal that's going on over there. So that's what the Bir Lecha says, that the fact that it's not a tikkun hamachal would knock it back down to a malach shein tzricha l'gufa. Because Yeshua's Yaakov's whole kasha is that every borer situation is malach shein tzricha l'gufa. So he said, no, because the agdor is tikkun hamachal, so it's tzricha l'gufa. But when there's no tikkun hamachal, it's back to being a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Plus, it might not even be a tarovus in the first place. So that's why the Bir Lecha is willing to be makel when things are piled on top of each other. So it could be that when you have matzahs piled on top of each other and you're just pulling off things from the top of the pile to access that which is lower in the pile, that would not be a problem of borer. But if you are actually trying to sort it all out, so to have your box of shvarim and your box of shleimim, so that would be, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, according to this Milchas Chinuch, that would be a problem because there are halachic differences between Shleimim and Prusos. Yeah, questions? Yeah.
I'm looking at about the difference between the matzahs and the jelly bean case, of why it would be considered, it would be tikkun hamachal by the jelly beans.
Yeah, it's a kash. Meaning the whole thing. Why by flour is it tikkun hamachal? I take each kernel of flour, but yet you have to view it as the way you would normally be able to take it, I guess. Meaning that since it's so small, it's considered mixed together. That it would be a whole asek to be able to purify it, as opposed to the matzah is ready, perfectly fine. You just need to reach for it. I don't know. It's hard to be mad here. Yeah.
It seems like the fact that the Taz himself uses the example of matzah as a proof for his issue of size means that he considers it a good proof for size. Therefore, it's not a problem of the hilchati thing. If he's using it as a raya for his whole size thing, Mashman,
it could just be that he was talking about, no, because he talks about pirurim gedolim uktanim, so he's not talking about any complete ones. So halachically, they're all the same. He just talks about larger broken pieces and smaller broken pieces.
I don't think so.
We just saw it this morning, right? It's just pirurim gedolim uktanim. Yeah. So, Any other questions? Okay. Another element over here. The Taz has another fascinating chiddush, and this one, you know, is much more accepted. The Taz in Sifkata Nyug Gimel writes, Yesh Isur Kishanofim Zvuvim Lakos Shelo Yotzia Zvuvim Levado Minakos Davlik Kibor Psoles Ela Yikach Minamashke Ktasi Mahem. Says the Taz, if a fly falls into a cup, right, into a into your drink, you know, in I don't think they do this in camps anymore. When I was a kid going to camp, the way they would make like the drinks that they would serve us, the punch, you know what I'm about to say? Garbage pail. They filled a big garbage pail with water. They dumped in all the sugary stuff, and then like some waiter would just stick his hand in and like what? Or the ores from the lake, right? And they'd mix it around. So I don't think. And then every waiter would just come with their pitcher and they'd stick it into the garbage pail and then they would fill it. Yeah. So I don't think they some health department probably came in, you know, shut it down at some point. But that used to be the way they did it. So it was always mechuna. The name for the special drink that they had in camp was always called
bug juice.
Bug juice, right? So that was always, so why was it called bug juice? Because very often, you know, when things are hanging out in a wide open garbage can in a camp setting, there'll be a lot of bugs in the juice. So you had bug juice. So it's Shabbos. And you're in camp, and you pour yourself, you know, your red mashke, and you notice that there are some chevra swimming in the red mashke. So now, what do you do? So says the Taz, no problem. You can remove it. But you got to be yikach mina mashke ktsas. You have to take away some of the mashke together with the fly. You can't just remove the fly. That's bor psolus mitoch ha'ochel. Can't do that, but you can take a little bit of the mashke together with the fly. So a fly in your soup or something like that. You have a paro moment or whatever. So it's you don't have to worry if it's in your soup. It's not a kashrus issue. It's nothing tam. We assume it's nothing tam. It's probably not so tasty. So it's not going to ruin the kashrus of your soup. But right now, while it's there, you want to get rid of it. So that's psolus mitoch ochel, which even biyad and even miyad is going to be aser probably midaraisa. So the Taz is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Samech Aleph. Take some of the soup out together with the fly, and then there's no question whether it would be okay or not. Agav, the Dirshu quotes Rabbi Yashiv that if a bottle cap falls in the soup, you're allowed to remove it because that's not considered mixed with the soup. But a fly is considered to be mixed with the soup. So we'll get to that hagdara of what's called mixed. Meaning like you're opening up a soda bottle and the thing flips out of your hand and lands in your soda. Right? This happens sometimes. Lands in your soda or lands in your soup or something like that. So now do I have to, when I scoop that out, I'm going to have to scoop out some soup together with it? I'm going to have to scoop out some soda together with it? So they quote from Rav Yashiv not. So let's see if that makes sense. What the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying is that borer is only an issue if there's a clear line between ochel and psoles that you are creating. But when you are not drawing a clear line between ochel and psoles, and you're taking some ochel with it, then it's not an issue of borer, because you really didn't demarcate a line between the ochel and psoles. The malacha is to end up with ochel here and psoles there. And you didn't do that. You ended up with ochel here and ochel upsoles over there. Prima Gadim understands that in Mishpat Sosav, Sifkat Gimel, whenever you take some ochel with the psoles, also like that there's no borer issue. So Mishpat Berurah says this a little bit differently than the Chazon Ish understands. I mean, they both are reading the same Taz, but they read it a little bit differently as follows. Mishpat Berurah and Sifkat and Samech Aleph writes as follows. Va'alkein, kishanofel zvuv odover acher b'machel u'mashke, lo yaser zvuv bein biyad bein bekli. Don't take the fly out, whether even if you're taking it out biyad. Tave borer psolus meocha. Ela yikach tzas gam meamachol o mashke imo v'yizrok. He dafka says if it's machol or mashke, doesn't matter if it's liquid or solid. You're going to have to take out a little bit with it, and then it's going to be perfectly fine. Meaning that it applies both to liquid and solid. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that, let's say, taking the raisins and the peanuts, the trail mix, that if you take some, if you like eating raisins and the peanuts are ruining it for you, you want to get rid of the peanuts. So just take some raisins out together with the peanuts that you're taking out. Every peanut you take out with a, you know, you have 90% raisins, let's say 10% peanuts, and you want to remove the peanuts. So every time you take out a peanut, take a raisin together with it, and that's going to be fine. That even though it's a Michael, it's not even a Mashka, that would be fine. Because he talks about Michael or Mashka. It's not about it being in a liquid. Chaznish in Siman Nun Gimel says that's not what the Taz is really saying. So the Taz never really said that it's good enough to remove some ochel with the psoldas. He points out, Chaznish points out, that if you look in the Berhetev, he quotes a number of Sfardic Achronim, who say that you can take the fly out with no issue because there's no tarovas. Meaning, it's like a bottle cap. It's not mixed in with the soup, it's floating there. It's not mixed in with anything. Something floating is not a mixture. So Chaznish says, Taz isn't quite going that far. He's not saying that there's mamish zero tarovas. But what the Taz is saying, it's not because the fly is considered to be mixed with the entire soup. It's just that the fly is mixed with the liquid that's in its immediate vicinity. Meaning, there is a fly and there is liquid in between the fly's wings and in between the fly's little tentacles and legs or whatever, you know, the different parts of the fly. That's where there's liquid mixed in with the fly. The fact that there's a carrot at the other end of my bowl and that there's a lot of, you know, there's enough soup over there, you know, that's inches away from the, that's not mixed with the soup. That's totally separate from the fly. You could eat half the bowl of soup without ever coming into contact with that fly. So it's only really mixed with the liquid that's in its wings and in its body. So when you take out the fly with the liquid that's in its immediate vicinity, you haven't been borer anything. Meaning it's not that you're, like the Mishabur teaches, that you're allowed to be borer as long as you're borer the fly with some, the psellus with some of the ochel. No, you're not being borer or anything. You're taking the whole tarovas. Let's imagine you have a bag of jelly beans over here, right, including black jelly beans. So it has all the good colors and also the black jelly beans. And it's in a room that also has shtenders and it also has chairs and it also has... So I take the bag, I pick it up, and I put it over there. So is that borer? That's not borer. I took the whole tarovas. I took the whole mixture, and I just transported it to a different place. Says the Chaznish, that's what the Taz means. You're not even doing an act of borer to begin with. You're just moving that which is already there. Just give me a second. That which is already a mixture. So separating the fly from the rest of the soup is not borer at all. It was never mixed with the rest of the soup. That's what the Taz is saying. So it would be clear, according to the Chaznish, that only works for liquids. It wouldn't work for solids that are actually mixed together with each other. Meaning, when you have something floating in a liquid, you could say, okay, so it's only stuck in that spot. But in fact, in Rosh Hashanah, according to Shmir Shabbos, in Perek Yimel for the Lamentas in the old editions, that according to the Chaznish, if you have lots of flies mixed all over the soup, right? According to the Chaznish, let's say it's really bug juice, right? So you have a whole bunch of them all over the place. So then, what would the halacha be? This could happen afkamina. According to the Mishnah Berurah, as long as each one gets removed with a little bit of soup, then you're okay. According to the Chaznish, it's no good, because now you have a real tarovas. And when you have a real tarovas, I don't care that you're taking out some of the ochel together with the psolas, because it's everywhere. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says based on that Chaznish. So again, Taz, if you give him paskins, fly falls into your drink, you can remove it from the cup using a large spoon, whereby you'll remove the fly together with some of your drink, some of your soup. Mishra Brura understands that that works because you're not removing the bad from the good, you're removing the entire mixture. So anytime you remove a little bit of the good together with the psalas, there's simply no iser of bore. Chaznish, Nun Gimel, disagrees with Mishra Brura's understanding of Taz. Taz holds removing a little bit of food together with the psoles is aser. Borer is aser even if you remove a little bit of the alcohol with the psoles. Why? What's the svara? What's the nekuda samachlokas over here? If borer is like the Yeshua Yaakov said, that the gedder of borer is what? It's tikkun hamachal. I have a bowl of soup that I can't eat right now. I have this red drink that they serve in camp Na'arim or Camp Rayim, those are the camps that I remember the bug juice from. So I have, I have these. Any Na'arim or none doesn't exist anymore. Any Rayim alumni here? Okay, why you? Such modern kids. I have my Camp Rayim bug juice, right? And Camp Reim had two campuses, but it wasn't a boys' campus and a girls' campus. It was Camp Reim and Camp Novominsk. And Novominsk learned all day. We learned only half a day. So the so if I have my bug juice that has all these bugs in it, so the borer is usher, because you, when you remove the psolus, you're being masaking the food. Meaning I'm going to take out, I'll take out every fly together with a little bit of. If I take out every fly together with a little bit of the juice, it's still being masak in the ochel. So if it's being masak in the ochel, that's begeder borer. So whereas if you assume that borer is maisa oriented, it's about the removal of the psalas, right? And it's not about the tikkun ochel. It's about the removal of the psalas. Well, I didn't. Okay, then the mishabru would say I didn't remove just the psalas. I removed the psalas together with the ochel. So again, Chaznish explains that Taz allows removing the fly with some liquid because the fly is simply not mixed with any of the liquid other than what's in its immediate vicinity. The taroves is the fly and the liquid that's stuck in between its wings and the nooks and crannies of its body. So if you're removing the fly alone, some of the drops in between the wings of the fly are going to slide off and remain in the cup when the fly is removed, and that's going to be a violation of borer because you've taken the fly, which is the psalas, from the ochel, which is the bug juice that's in between the wings of the bug. But you remove the fly with some liquid, and then it's mutter because you're not because you're not fixing the remaining liquid since it was never mixed with the fly in the first place. That's how the Orcha Shabbos. If you look in Orcha Shabbos on page Kuf Mem Gimel, that's what the Orcha Shabbos explains. So again, the it seems pashtos that that's the nekudas hamachlokas over here, that the mishabura and the chazanish are arguing about tikkun amaychel versus not tikkun amaychel.
If that's the nekudas hamachlokas, then it's not kishma because
the ber alacha is one that quotes Shmuel Yaakov
at tikkun. He seems to accept it. He doesn't just.
Yeah. That's what kishma. Yeah.
According to the chazanish, why is that whole taroves of the bug in the soup bread round and not part of a larger taroves?
What do you mean?
It's in a bowl of soup, so that whole taroves.
Right. So this is one of the most challenging things in borer to figure out what's called the taroves. So Haraya, the Chaznish and the Mishmur look at the same bowl of soup, and the Mishmur says, "I see a taroves of bug and soup." And the Chaznish says, "No, right there, there's a taroves of bug and soup, but the whole rest of the bowl, it's not even part of the taroves. It's not included because there's no. It's. I mean, if you can go right in and just take the soup and you know without even going near the bug, that's not called the taroves."
Why is there a difference between food and drink? I don't understand that meaning.
Yeah, because the assumption is, according to the Chaznish, that the only reason that it's a taroves is because the liquid gets stuck in between the wings and the crevices or whatever. So by a food, it's not going to be shaykh, because nothing is getting stuck in between the bug. Just pull the bug out.
So
I mean, it's not a taroves b'chlal.
According to the Chaznish, if I have shnei minei ochlin, but one of the ochlin is in a... isolated.
I don't know. Again, I don't know how he'd be mad to that. But it sounds right. But it sounds like he's only concerned about the liquid that's stuck in between the wings of the fly, and that's why the Mishnah Berurah said Machal or Mashka, and the Chaznish doesn't. Chaznish would say says only Mashka.
But even if I have a food and an isolated item, it's Meurav in the food that's right around there. It's not that it's in its legs.
Again, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to answer these questions. Right? Meaning, like, what's called mixed? What's not called mixed? I don't know.
I think it's based on.
Well, here's not lach b'lach, it's lach
b'yavish,
right? Meaning it's,
no,
yeah, it's a fly with soup.
Yes, yeah, I'm saying.
Versus a fly with other, with
so
jelly beans.
It's in a dumber lach, like you say, you're saying that yavish b'lach is the same thing as yavish b'yavish. I mean, when we have two things that are just solid foods, like the only thing we say it's a mixture just based on what it is. There's nothing like, there's no physical interaction between them. Other than that they're in a pile.
No, that's because you can't identify them. In your day, it's because you can't identify them. When you have Yavish B'Yavish and you can identify it, there's no tarot.
Right. Still
you know which hamburger is straight, so you take it out. When it's hot and touching each other and they're no sintam, then it goes back to being lach b'lach.
That's why would you say this in the story here that like that the liquid's going like into the fly?
It's not the same. So over there, it's about nesinas tam. Over here, it's not about tam. It's about being able to physically identify the item as an independent entity.
How did the Chazanish define a davar yavish before? I don't know if we did it earlier this year. Meaning, is it like if there's a little liquid, is that still yavish?
How do we think? No, I don't think it would go by those gedarim. Meaning it's a question of what would get stuck between the wings of a fly and what wouldn't.
Or oily foods or...
Right, so that might get stuck between the wings of a fly, and that would be like like a liquid for our purposes. The Shmir Shabbos has the following: a lemon pit falls into sugar or a salad. You're squeezing lemon onto a salad. Right, we'll get to skip that someone. So you're squeezing lemon onto a salad, and some of the pits fall into the salad. So Shmir Shabbos says you can remove a small amount of the sugar or salad together with the pit, but it's better to remove a larger amount together with the pit. And he explains in the footnote that if Shlomo Zalman was machmir to make sure that when removing some of the good with the bad, you're removing a substantial amount of the good. Meaning, follow the taz, take out something together with the pit, but it should be a reasonable amount. According to the Mishnah Brura, you could remove a bone from fish or meat if the bone will be removed with some meat on it. According to the Chazon Ish, it's asur unless you remove a big piece of meat together with the bone. We'll get into peelers a little bit later on, but some poskim raise the possibility that using a peeler on Shabbos should be mutter, because whenever you use a peeler to peel a cucumber, let's say, you're not only taking the peel. There's some, a peeler is better than a knife. Use a knife, you're going to for sure take some of the cucumber. Use a peeler, you're taking a smaller portion of the cucumber, you're taking some of it, but based on the Chazon Ish of Shlomo Zalman, that logic won't allow you to use the peeler, because they only allow you when you remove a large amount of the food together with the psoves. And even the Mishnah Brura is not going to be matir based on the logic that a peeler is considered removing some of the food with the psoves, because it was specifically created to minimize the amount of food that comes off with the peel. So maybe that would be problematic. Or let's say you have the following. Let's say you have an apple that part of the apple is rotten, but you still want to eat the rest of the apple, or banana, right? Very commonly happens with the banana. Bananas are easily bruised, right? So not talking about the borer shayla peeling a banana in the first place, that you're removing the psoves to access the banana. That you're allowed to do. But let's say you open up the banana and there's a brown spot on the banana. So if you cut out just the brown spot, so what are you doing? You're removing the psoves from the ochel, and that should be a problem. In the Shmir Shabbos paskins that carefully cutting the good part off is only mutter if you cut the good from the bad, and you do it miyad, right before the meal. But if you cut a piece of good together with the spoiled part, that would also be okay. According to the Mishnah Brura, again, you only need to cut a tiny section of the good, because as long as you're not fully sorting, as long as you don't have all the psoles here and all the ochel there, you're okay. Whereas according to the Chazon Ish, anything that's part of the tarofes has to be moved. So you have to cut off a much larger piece, because that might be considered part of the tarobes. So that would be another nafkamina between the Mishnah Brura and the Chazon Ish. So again, what do we say? The Taz said one, the Taz innocently said one little thing. You have your bug juice. You could, when you remove the bug, take out some of the juice with the bug. So Mishnah Brura says, you see from there that unless you very clearly define ochel here, psoles there, you make a clear demarcating line between the two, then it's not a borer issue. That's the yisayid that the Mishnah Brura comes up with. Says Chazon Ish, there is no such yisayid. There is no such yisayid. Even if you didn't draw a clear line, but you remove psoles from ochel, that was betarovis, that's going to be aser. The only reason you're allowed to remove the fly together with some of the juice is because only some of the juice is actually mixed with the fly. So you're removing the entire tarovis, which would mean that according to the Chazon Ish, any time you want to remove psoles and you want to use this heter of the taz, take off some ochel with it, you have to take away all of the ochel that's mu'urav with that psoles. Any ochel that you could be magdir as being mu'urav together with that psoles, you have to remove all of it. You can't just take a little tiny something. According to the Mishnah Brura, any little tiny something of ochel together with the psoles is going to be fine, because you didn't make two clearly defined categories, right? You don't have ochel there and psoles there. So, and again, the kudas hamachlokas may be about whether the geder is tikkun hamachel, whether the geder is the maisa of borer itself. But nafkaminas would be, you're taking a lemon pit out of your salad. So is it good enough that you take if there's a piece of corn right next to the lemon pit, then you take a piece of corn together with the lemon pit, or do you have to take the whole area out? According to Mishnah Berurah, just something, just anything together with the seed is going to be fine, as long as there's some ochel that you're taking with it. Whereas according to the Chazanish, no, anything that you would consider to be mu'urav with that pit is going to have to be removed. Same when it comes to taking off the brown part of a banana. According to the Mishnah Berurah, any little bit of what you're going to take off together with the brown is going to be fine. According to Chazon Ish, the whole tarobus has to be removed. So it's true, the other end of the banana may not be considered the tarobus, but that whole general vicinity of where the brown spot is would be considered tarobus. And again, the same when it comes to a cucumber peeler, that according to the Mishnah Berurah, one could argue that it's mutter because there's always some ochel coming off with it. Whereas according to the Chazon Ish, certainly not mutter, because you're not taking off nearly enough ochel to that would be considered part of the tarava.
Didn't we say earlier that according to the Chazon Ish, the only time that this svar would be true is if it's liquid?
Liquid in the sense that because when a fly is sitting in solids, it's not mu'urav with the solid.
Meaning, so in the case of the banana, though, it's not mu'urav with the entire banana, it's only that one area.
So again, these are hard to be magdir, but it is, you can't identify exactly where the brown ends and the inside of banana is a little bit brown anyway. Like, you're never really sure exactly where. Yeah.
If people would eat loose parts of bananas, or if people eat cucumber peels, would that necessarily be?
So that we'll have to get to whether there's whether it's ochel at all. But maybe the fact that you don't want it, it's ochel mitochel, but it's subjective psala if you're not interested.
Is Yeshua Yaakov was from yesterday, 2 days ago. Yeshua Yaakov bullied the Ramban, but it's Hikun?
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And other ones bow more.
Right.
For the Chazon Ish, if you were to, let's say, mix that drink with a fly in it, would you be over on Borer for moving the water in which that fly is found?
If you were to
mix up the whole thing. So now that fly is in different water than it was before.
So that's not Borer, right? You didn't.
You moved it out of the. Like it's now
so this we were discussing this morning. I mean, if you would, let's say you have a pile of coats, and you just take the whole pile and you flip it over, or let's say you have soup, and someone says, as a friend gave the example before, that someone says I like carrots, so you just keep swishing around until you see a part where there are carrots. So that l'chora is not
a. What Jesse's saying is that in that case it's all matarovas. Here there's different pockets.
I mean, according to the Chazon Ish, we view that
totally
as different.
Only the little bubble that it's in.
But still, why is it Borer? You haven't separated anything. You haven't pulled anything
out.
If you're considering the Borer to be that little bubble of water, so that water is for sure not the same water. If you go like this,
but that's not identifiable. I think if it's not identifiable, it can't be considered Borer. Yeah.
According to the definition for the Taz, subsequently, meaning once you've already removed, let's say use the salad example.
Yeah.
So you took the salad and you took five pieces of lettuce with the bits, and then you wanted to take those pieces of salad lettuce individually. That would presumably be fine. Meaning after taking them along with the psolas,
then you could do ochel mitoch psolas miyad biyad mutter. Yes. Okay. So this is all as far as everything we've discussed to this point. Has been borer of food. What about borer of things that are not food? So the Taz, Sivkat, a lot of Tazes today. The Taz in Sivkat Yud Beis points out that the Gemara in Ayin Daled Amud Beis talks about how many different Yisurim a person would be over for doing certain. The Gemara, there are a lot of sugis and shas like this. Like if you were having an Avera contest, how can you really maximize your, There was rumors when I was in Karen Biavne that there was a particular yeshiva that made quite a name for itself. There were rumors going around all the yeshivas that they had an Avera contest in that yeshiva to be able to see who could do the biggest Avera. I don't know if it's true or not, but those were the rumors. So if they would just learn a little, then they'd be able to discover how to do the biggest Avera. Right, it turned out that all of the rumors, everything they described, was really just a Gemara somewhere. So I think it was just some yeshivish guy made up the rumor, he went into the Heichol with the Zayna and the Sefer Torah. I'm like, hey, that's a Gemara. they came in parts of Chomos Migdalai and Timu Kol Hashmanim. Wait, that sounds familiar. So what was I saying? So the Gemara talks about in that context how you could do many, many different averos all at the same time. And it's not talking about food. And Rashi includes borer as one of the yisurin that you could do when you're sorting out different kalim. So you don't have explicit in the Gemara, but you have in Rishonim that borer could apply even to non-food items. And the Taz says, and therefore, you could have borer midoraisa by non-food items. You have silverware, you have clothing, it could be borer midoraisa if you're not careful how you sort your silverware or clothing. Not so surprising to us, right, that there could be such an issue of borer midoraisa. You go to the Sholem Zachal, as we gave the example, there's that pile of coats. Okay, you got to think for a second. How do I do this the right way that I'm not going to violate borer? The Aruch HaShulchan is like incredulous. He cannot believe that there are people that think that you're going to have to think twice before you pull your clothing out of your closet or before you set your table and figure out your forks and your knives and your spoons. The Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't understand. Heich matzinu yadeinu v'ragleinu. How could anyone live like this? This is crazy. I mean, the Aruch HaShulchan was that guy in Rabbi Franz here saying, there's no such thing as borer on things like this. Or he asks him as a question. He says, I don't understand. We never heard of such a chumrah not to separate silverware, not separate svarim on Shabbos. Whoever heard of such a chumrah? And what do you mean? Every gabbai svarim and every base manager in the world heard of such a chumrah. But the Aruch HaShulchan never heard of it. They hadn't yet invented these chumras. So the Aruch HaShulchan tries to explain why not. Meaning, is it really true that there's no din of borer outside of food? It doesn't seem that that would be the rule. There are those that hold that way, but the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't hold that way. So he gives two suggestions. First, he says, in a chinam, there would be a borer issue, but it's no more chumra than normal borer. So follow all the rules. And you're good to go. So yes, if you have your cutlery all mixed together, it's a borer problem. So take what you want from what you don't want, use it right away, and do it biyad, and then you're fine. Yeah, the same with the coats or anything else, which means you really have to follow all the rules, that these situations, one has to be mindful. Or the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't know, what's really called a mixture? You know, you look at some knives and forks and mix it together. Is that really a mixture? You can see where all the knives are. You can see where all the forks are. There's no problem identifying them from each other. So since it's so easy to tell them from each other, maybe there's no issue of borer. So just taking what you want is not called separating. And then he says, I don't know if I can rely on that, because it's very hard to determine whether something is nikkur or not, which is what all the poskim struggle with, and what every single, like, half the questions that were raised in Shir today are about, right? Is that something that's a tarovis, or is it not? Is it called mixed together, is it not called mixed together? So our question says, I don't know, you know, you're looking at a pile of forks and knives. If you're looking at the tops of them, you can see that the top of a fork has, you know, the prongs, and the top of the knife is just a blade. You can see, you look at the handles, you can so easily tell. Not always, right? It's not always so easy to tell the forks and the knives from each other. I don't know that you can rely that it's not really called a tarovas, and therefore maybe one has to be careful to follow all the rules. Now, which daya of the Aruch HaShulchan you go with is a big nafkamina. According to the first part of the Aruch HaShulchan, if you don't want to use it for miyad, you want to use it for later, it's going to have a real problem. According to the second part of the Aruch HaShulchan, you want to set the table early to use it much, much later. That would be perfectly fine. It wouldn't be borer at all. But the Aruch HaShulchan, like we said, is hesitant to rely on it. So that's really, you know, the million-dollar question is, how do we define what's called a mixture? So yes, the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, it brings us a little bit closer, because he says, if it's visibly separate, then it's not called a mixture. If you can very clearly visibly identify the things as separate from each other, then you're not going to call that a mixture. So the Aruch HaShabbos writes, again, very difficult to qualify a mixture, but anything that's visibly separate, because of Nissim Karelitz, is not called a mixture. And many times the size or the shape of the item could determine whether the mess in front of you is considered a mixture or not. Meaning, if there are a few items that are in very close proximity to each other, one of them is considerably larger than the others, so that just makes it stand out. It makes it visibly separate, so it's not a mixture. I mean, previously we were talking about sizes. Once you have it all mixed together, is it called shnei minim? Is it even called two different things if it's size of the same type of food? But now we're talking about, is it even considered mixed together if you have different size items? Even if it is shneimin, you have two different, you have two totally different things, but one of them is much larger, even though it's in the mess in front of you, but you can very clearly identify the larger thing. Maybe that's not called the taromas at all. A relevant source for this shayla is the Rama in Shinchaf Aleph Yotes. The Rama writes that you're only allowed to peel garlic or other fruits or nuts if you want to eat it right away. But peeling it for later in the day is also because of boda. So you see that items that are stuck together are also called a mixture. Meaning, the peel is very distinguishable from the fruit. You can very clearly see where the apple peel is and where it isn't. You can very clearly see where the cucumber peel is and where it isn't. You cut open the cucumber, you cut the cucumber in half, you can very clearly see there's the peel, there's the fruit. But they're stuck together. And that makes it a bar situation. In fact, that they're stuck on each other. So that also helps us qualify. So it's not only that which is nicker, but even if something is nicker and discernible, but it's stuck, they're stuck onto each other, that might also define something as a mixture. Shlomo Zalman is quoting Shmir Shabbos to say this explicitly, that the shell of the nut is considered mixed with the nut because they're attached together. Now, Bir Halacha raises the obvious question, which maybe we'll get back to later when we talk about Ochel Mitoch Pesol, Pesol Mitoch Ochel. Bir Halacha says, well, wait a second. How are you ever allowed to peel anything? When you're peeling, what are you doing? You're removing the psolas from the ochel. So how are you ever allowed to do any peeling? So Bir Halacha says it's the only way to get to the fruit. So the peeling is considered derech achiva. Meaning, when you have two options of how to sort something, and option A is ochel mitoch psolas, option B is psolas mitoch ochel, and you choose to remove the psolas from the ochel, that's called derech breira. If you choose to take the ochel from the psolas, that's called derech achiva. But when you have no choice of how to do it, there's only one way to access the ochel, normally, and that is by removing the psolas. That's considered derech achila, even though you're removing it. Meaning, put in other words, there is no din that you need ochel mitoch psolas. The din is that it has to be derech achila. Most often, derech achila is accomplished by taking ochel mitoch psolas. It's just that sometimes derech achila will be accomplished by taking psolas mitoch ochel as well. So Shmir Shabbos writes, the Isra of Bor applies only for sorting items that are actually mixed together or in very close proximity without any specific order, and certainly if they're stuck together. But if they're separated from each other, then they're not halachically mixed. Bor is not going to apply. Legabe hagdaras taroves, as far as Bor is concerned, another important maramakom. Shulchan Aruch and Raman Sif Yud Paskin that filtering clean water or wine is mutter, even if there are little tiny pieces of sediment in the liquid, because they're drinkable without filtering. I mean, if you have a little bit of sediment in the wine, but you would drink the wine as is, you're allowed to filter it out. So Mishabrun Sivkot Namdal says, because most people would drink the water and the wine with the sediment in it, so we don't view the sediment as a mixture, and you could remove them even with a cleat. Meaning, in other words, even though with a mixture of two types of food, you're not allowed to sort the food you dislike from the food that you like, meaning psolos mitoch ochel. Over here, it's mutter because we don't view the sediment and the drink as a mixture. It's viewed as one substance. It's the wine, and part of wine is that it has little floaty things in it. So splitting them apart is mutter, just like it would be like cutting an apple in half. That's that half of the apple, that's that half of the apple. That's not. So when you filter out the sediment of the wine, that's just part of the wine. So it's like pouring half a cup of wine, you know, it's like pouring wine out of a bottle where half of the wine is in the cup now and half of the wine is in the bottle. Bir Halacha writes that for someone who's an istinus, Bir Halacha Dibur Maskul Hoil, someone who's an istinus and would never drink unfiltered wine or water, then filtering would be considered borrow, because for him, the sediment is pseldas. It's not really part of the wine. So, for example, Rav Moshe in Aruch Chaim Chel Dal Simnayim Gimel paskins that someone who occasionally drinks orange juice with the stuff, with the pulp, is allowed to filter out the pulp on Shabbos with a strainer. But if you never drink it with the pulp, then it's awesome. Right? Meaning, Tropicana sells regular Tropicana, and there's Homestyle, which is, you know, has a little bit of that, and there's Grove Stand, which is, you know, like, it's like a solid, right? I mean, they have a lot of the stuff in it. So some people are like, whatever they have, I don't care. You know, it doesn't bother me one way or the other, right? And other people are very sensitive to texture. right? Some people care more about taste, and others are much more sensitive to texture. I remember my grandmother, Aleha Shalom, used to, when we'd have like soda bubbles that were like totally flat, she's like, ah, who needs the bubbles? We're like, that's the whole thing. That's what soda is. It's all about the bubbles. You know, but she's like, what's the sense? Like, that wasn't, it wasn't something that mattered. You know, so people are sensitive to that kind of thing. So Moshe writes, and it's a sensitive thing. Now, so that also adds another layer of definition in terms of the Hagdara over here. Because if it's part of the juice, you know, it's part of the wine, even though it may be something that's a less desirable part of it, it's not considered a mixture at all. So to summarize, it's very difficult to define what level of proximity is required for items to be considered a mixture. But if two items are stuck together, or if they look like they're just all mushed together in a big mixture, then Borod certainly applies. A mixture of two edible foods is also considered a mixture with regard to Borer, if you don't intend to eat both of them immediately, because the one you don't want to eat is considered psoles, that's shita satosos. But different sizes of one type of food or a liquid that's mixed with sediment is not considered a halachic liquid when it comes to Borer. Just to acknowledge the problem over here, usually when you have halachic topics, you learn the klalim. And once you learn the klalim, it's easy. The rest of it is all you got to do is apply the klalim. Is it a davar yavesh? Is it a davar lach? Is this a mubashul kol tzarech? All you got to do is apply the klalim. Borer, it's like these klalim, as far as what's called the taroves, aren't really klalim. They're a series of details that you have to sort of try to figure out if there is a klal that emerges from them. So each shayla, you really have to just look at what the poskim say and use a good deal of of intuition and common sense in figuring out whether it's a tarovis in the first place. So you always have to, you know, one of the questions that you just have to go through in your mind, are these items close enough to be considered a mixture? And if yes, are they separate items? Meaning, or are they the same thing? So you have to know if it's a tarovis, and you have to know if you have shnei minim. If either of those questions is no, that it's not a tarovis, or it's not even shnei minim, then you're not going to have a problem. You don't have to worry about borer. But those are the two criteria, the two checkboxes you need to check in your head before you start attacking it as a borer shayla. Is it a taroves and is it shnei minim? Question?
If there's just two items, so would that be a borer? Like one's psoles, one's ofel, but there's literally just two of them. That's not a mixture, it's two.
You gotta define if it's really mixed together. I can't imagine that it would be mixed together, but if you have some situation. The fly in the soup, okay. Yeah, because that's really mixed together, the liquid in between the... It's not
that
easily discernible.
The one that's the hardest, because anybody looks at that doesn't see fly soup. You just see a fly in the soup, you know? Like, that's the one that...
But there is taka soup in the wings of the fly.
They're touching, but it's not...
Yeah, I don't know.
Would Brita's be an issue for her?
Ah, so what do you say about a Brita? Brita filter? So here's what I want to get. I want to get into a lot of the practical stuff tomorrow. Brita filters, New York City water filters, peeling fruit, skinning a chicken, pulling a pickle out of the pickle juice. Any of these situations. Finding something in your refrigerator when there are things piled on top of each other. Forks, knives, spoons, all, you know, setting a table on Shabbos, everything becomes a Borer Shayla. So I think guys do enjoy when we go through like bottom line, halacha lemaisa, what do we do about this case, that case, that case? Now that we learned the klalim, we'll see, again, it's not going to like be perfect, as you can see, you know, in terms of defining what's called a tarovis, but those are the two questions that we have to go through in our head. Is it a tarovis and is it shnei minim? And then tomorrow, the first thing we'll do tomorrow is we'll go through that stuff. And maybe that will lead us also into French press coffee and pour over coffee. That's also a very Nogea Lemaisa type of issue when it comes to Borer. Have a great day, everyone.
Remember what we said with the oranges? Would that be that for like look for the pulp and you enjoy the pulp, or like personally like
no,
I don't like pulp, but like if it's the only thing that's there,
it.
Like I'll drink it, but like,
yeah,
I don't like
I think
it.
That's good enough.
Yeah, that would.
Is Hedgedar a sense? The Ramah says that by Shnei Minim, even if they're both Nicker, it's still a problem. So I just want to get the Hagdar. If they're identifiable, it's not an issue.
So this Nicker.